हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so the going to Kuvera's lake then the Kodavasas, then they have told the guard, the Rakshasa guards, that, you know, they're guarding the lake and it belongs to Kuvera, and so though he's come to take flowers and that, he has to ask permission of Kuvera. Otherwise, then, you know, as guards, then they can't allow that. And his point is, no, as a Kshatriya, how can I, one, listen to Rakshasas? He doesn't like Rakshasas. And, you know, and we don't beg, so, like that. But it's another thing if they had a relationship and all that, and it came up and he gave, like that. Having said this, you know, it's just like the Kshatriyas, then they'll have the Rakshasa marriage, you know, where they go and they kidnap the girl and there's a fight and everything. It's just the Kshatriya way they like to do things. So in this way also, he comes for the flowers. His point is, you know, God made the lake and the flowers, and so therefore, why do I have to ask Kuvera? Having said this, Bhima plunged into the lake and began to gather the lotuses. The Krodavasas advanced, shouting at him to desist. Bhima ignored them. As far as he was concerned, the lotuses were the property of their creator, God, not any lesser God, because being a Vaishnava, then he, you know, his points, they're all Krishnas, they're not Kuveras. But at the same time, as Hanuman pointed out to him, that, you know, always respect like that, because his brother would respect and everything. But Bhima is, you know, special in that he has a special rasa with Rakshasas. If the guards had been Gandharvas or something else, then he probably would have dealt differently. You know. Bhima felt that he had as much right to take them as did Kuvera. The Pandava knew that Draupadi would first offer them to the Lord before giving them to anyone else. So she'll offer them to Krishna, and then after that, then give them to Yudhishthira. Seeing Bhima taking the flowers despite their worries, the guard charged, yelling furiously, "Seize him, cut him up, bind him." The Rakshasas entered the shallow waters, and Bhima stood to receive them. Taking hold of his mace, inlaid with gold resembling the mace Yamaraj carries, Bhima shouted back, "Stand and fight." The guard surrounded Bhima, who whirled his mace and met the advancing Rakshasas with heavy blows. Heroic and courageous, Vayu's son was devoted to virtue and truth and could not thus be vanquished by an enemy through prowess. He killed the Krodavasas by the hundreds, beginning with the foremost among them, right, the one who was spoke to him first. Many of them fell into the water, their arms and legs broken. Bhima resembled a whirlwind. The Rakshasas could hardly look at him as he fought. They began to flee in fear, taking to the skies, right? Because being Rakshasas, they can fly, right? Seeing the guards retreating, Bhima lowered his mace and continued to gather lotuses. He drank the lake's clear water, which tasted like celestial nectar, and which restored his strength and energy. Because Krishna is the taste of water, so as you go up, then, you know, that taste becomes greater and greater, the potency. As he picked the lotuses, he presented them mentally to Draupadi. The Krodavasas ran back in terror to Kuvera and told him that what had happened. The god only smiled and said, "Let Bhima take as many lotuses as he liked for Draupadi. I already knew he would be coming." Hearing the master's words, the guards returned to the lake and saw Bhima sporting alone in its waters, with a number of lotuses lying near him on the bank. They watched him in silence, keeping a safe distance, because they don't want to get too close like that. He said, "No, I'd let him take as much as he wants," you know. And that he's not saying okay, because then he would think, "Oh no," but then he's like that. He knows how he's doing and why he's doing it. He knows taking them because they belong to Krishna, therefore Draupadi, who will then, a pure devotee, will offer them to Krishna. So, you know, for him, then everything's accomplished. You know, for Kuvera, because that's the whole point, is the connection to the Lord. You know, and so that aspect is there. You know, so a Kshatriya is okay, he takes with his mind and everything. Chapter 28, Kuvera offended. At Bhadrika, Yudhishthira suddenly noticed the appearance of fearful omens. A violent wind blew up, lashing sand and pebbles into the Pandavas' faces. Meteors fell from the sky and the sun became obscured by darkness. The earth trembled and dust fell in showers, and explosions were heard in the skies. All around them, the brothers could hear the shrieks of birds and beasts. Yudhishthira looked around. Where was Bhima? Had his brother gone off on some adventure? These omens obviously indicated that something powerful was occurring somewhere. Right, so just seeing these, you think, oh, Bhima's up to something, right? Not seeing Bhima anywhere, Yudhishthira feared that he might be the cause of the portents. He spoke anxiously to his brothers. Invincible ones, arm yourselves. It seems that the time for us to display our prowess has arrived. Yudhishthira turned to Draupadi. Do you know where Bhima is? Is he intent on performing some terrible act? Or has he already achieved a tremendous feat? These omens clearly indicate battle. Draupadi replied, O hero, this morning I presented to you a golden lotus. I requested Bhima to fetch more of those flowers, and he left at once for the higher regions of this mountain. Yudhishthira could immediately understand that Bhima had disturbed the celestials by attempting to take the lotuses from them. He went quickly to Ghatotkacha and said, O Sky Ranger, you are like a celestial in prowess and ability. We need your help. Right, so he's glorifying because he has that prowess and all that. And then he's saying, it seems my younger brother has gone upward to the regions of the gods. By his own power, Vayu's son can leap into the sky and come down at will. He moves with the speed of the wind and has left to find the celestial lotuses. Please carry us to the place where they grow so I may see what Bhima has done. So you know that Bhima in his prowess, you know, then he has to, you know, has to do some amazing act, something like that. But replying, so be it, Ghatotkacha and his followers carried the Pandavas, Draupadi and the Brahmins to Saugandhika. So they all went up to there, right? So they were at Bhadrika Ashram just for that 6 days. Then this incident came up, and so now they've gone up to Kuvera's place. Ghatotkacha had already been there a number of times, and he knew the way well. As they descended to the ground near the lake, they saw Bhima standing on the shore holding his mace. At a distance, they saw the large-eyed Krodavasas watching him, right? Large eyes are just watching, okay, don't mess with this guy, right? You know, who is this guy that Kuvera already knew he's here? And he said, yeah, he should take as many little flowers as he wants. You know, so who is this guy? And he's already killed, you know, hundreds of them and their commander-in-chief, right? A number of them lay on the ground and in the water with their heads and limbs smashed. Yudhishthira was shocked. He went over to Bhima, embraced him and said, what have you done, my brother? Be blessed, but if you wish to do good to me, then you should never again be so rash as to offend the celestials. Seeing Yudhishthira there, the Rakshasa's guards folded their palms and bowed their heads in humility. Right, because everybody knows he's famous throughout the universe. So that's why I said before, oh, okay, for your Yudhishthira's, he does everything right, so you should also do right. But at the same time, as you know, there's that moot, he's Bhima. The Pandava apologized for his brother's acts and consoled him with gentle words. Looking around at the beauty of the region, Yudhishthira desired to remain there for some time with his brothers, right? Because it's just such a nice place, it's very pious. He asked the guards to request Kuvera's permission for them to stay, right? So he has, because he knows it's their place we're passing through, and you know it's that, and you know he does that so in the future he'll return the favor. So it's not, he's not seeing it as begging. It means you can look at it one way, it's begging, and so it brings out the Kshatriya spirit like that chivalry. Or you can look at it that no, he's it's not. It's about him. How do you say? It's about them. I gotta start that one again.
Yudhishthira.
Yes, so Yudhishthira has no problem asking. Bhima is looking at it from the side that brings out the chivalry, which is his nature. And so then, therefore, he's stealing. But at the same time, it's also, it's from one king to another king, that, you know, you respect the other person's position and authority and all that, and you request, we're passing through here, you know, do you mind if we spend some time here on your land, and that, and then after that we move. Hearing that the Pandava's sons had come there, Kuvera was pleased and he gave his assent. Thus Yudhishthira and his party remained for some time on the high slopes of Gandamandana, right, because before they were on the lower level. Yeah, I mean, it's already very high, but it just means even more high. Enjoying the heavenly atmosphere. After a few days, Yudhishthira desired to see Kuvera. Right? So they stayed there for a little bit. He just asked, and then he wanted to see Kuvera. Sitting by the lakeshore one morning, he told Bhima, "We have seen all the holy places with Lomasha and the other Brahmanas. Let us now see the most holy of places, Kuvera's abode, always frequented by siddhas and rishis. Can you think of some way by which we can enter the heavenly region?" But as Yudhishthira finished speaking, a celestial voice resounded in the sky. "O king, you will not be able to go to the inaccessible abode of Vaishravana by this way. Go back to Badrik Ashrama. From that place you will go to the hermitage of Vrishaparva, and then to the hermitage of Arishtashena. From there you will see Kuvera's abode." Because it just wouldn't go from there, so they stayed for a few days, and now they'll go back down to where they were, then they'll go to some other places, and then from there they'll be able to come up. As the divine voice spoke, a cool fragrance breeze blew down a shower of flowers. Domya said, "This orders of the gods cannot be ignored. We should leave immediately." Right, because there's some work to do in that. You have these great Pandavas there, and so they'll always do something auspicious. During the last few weeks before Arjuna's return, the Pandavas spent their time in the company of rishis, but Bhima often roved about about the mountain with Gadhodgacha, right, because his son, so they just moved around and they'll talk and this and that. One day, while the two heroes were absent, a powerful Rakshasa appeared at Badrik Ashrama. He had actually been there all along, having assumed the form of a Brahmin and living unrecognized by the brothers. He wanted to steal Draupadi. Seeing his chance, he manifested his monstrous form and grabbed Yudhishthira and the twins in one arm and Draupadi in the other. He also seized the Pandava's weapons. He then rushed into the forest. Sahadev managed to extricate himself and snatch his sword known as Kaushika. Then he chased the demon while calling loudly for Bhima. Yudhishthira reprimanded the Rakshasa, "O fool, virtue decreases in you, and yet you care nothing. What good result do you hope to attain by your vile behavior? In this material world, the celestials, petries, siddhas, animals, and even worms and ants depend upon man for life. Even your race depends upon men, right? Because men perform the sacrifice that maintains all the other living entities in the universe. That's why it's so important that the humans perform sacrifice and all the things. But they can't be proud because the others are in a senior position." Yudhishthira instructed the Rakshasa about the interdependence of all beings. By sacrifice and religious performances, mankind satisfied the gods and the Supreme Lord, who in return supplied them and all creatures their necessities. If men suffered and were unable to practice religion, then everyone was afflicted. Yudhishthira warned, "O wretch, as you have shown ingratitude for our having maintained you for so long, and as you are now trying to steal our wife, you will surely meet with destruction." Right? Because he was a Brahmin there. Yudhishthira was respecting him, giving him all facility, and feeding him nicely and taking care. And so he's been giving him all, you know, nice facility. So he should be grateful for that. But instead, he's trying to kidnap their wife. The Rakshasa felt Yudhishthira becoming unbearably heavy. He was forced to slow his pace. Sahadev was then able to catch up to him. Yudhishthira called out, "Do not be afraid of this Rakshasa, brother. I have checked his speed, and I sense that Bhima is not far away." Sahadev stood before the Rakshasa and said, Stay and fight. Only after killing me can you carry this lady away into the forest. Otherwise, you will die. I am Pandu's son, Sahadev, and I am here to punish you." As Sahadev brandished his sword, Bhima arrived wielding his mace. Seeing his brothers and Draupadi in the Rakshasa's grip, he blazed with fury and roared, "O sinful wretch, I found you out long ago, and when I saw you scrutinizing our weapons. But as I apprehended no fear from you, and as you were disguised as a Brahmin, I took no action against you. Right? So he already knew he was a Rakshasa or something. Otherwise, why is he doing it? The Brahmins wouldn't be looking at their weapons. You know, they see that he had weapons, but they, you know, check him nicely. He who kills a person living as a guest, even if he knows them to be an enemy, goes to hell. Nor could you be killed before your time has arrived. To tell you have touched the sinless Draupadi and thus destroyed your life duration. Right? So up to this point, he's done nothing wrong. He may be a Rakshasa disguise, but he's living as a Brahmin. He's doing nothing wrong. He's a guest. He can't kill him. But now he's become an aggressor. Because right? The six kinds of aggressors, one who is new takes the wife. Right? You have swallowed the hook fastened to the line of fate and, like the fish, will meet your destruction. Go now to where Hidimba and Baka have already gone. The Rakshasa became alarmed and let Draupadi and the husbands go. His lips trembled in anger as he rebuked Bhima. It is you who are sinful. I know of your having slain those Rakshasas. Today I will offer them oblations of your blood. Come and fight. I am waiting. Right. So it's another one like Kimira that he wants to get revenge, for his killing these other Rakshasas. So each Yakshasa comes to get revenge. He's killed, and then that adds on to the list of, oh, you've killed all these Rakshasas. No, that's because they're creating trouble. Without saying more, Bhima rushed at the demon. Seeing him unarmed, he put down his mace and took hold of the Rakshasa with his bare hands, right? So he had his mace. But he saw he didn't have the mace, so and he wasn't picking up trees, so he put his mace down to just hand to hand. The demon met him like the Asura Vrita met Indra. As they fought in fury, the earth vibrated with their heavy steps. The twins came forward to help, but Bhima checked them. I am more than a match for this demon. By my religious merit, my sacrifices, and my brothers, I swear I shall kill this one today. The battle between man and Rakshasa raged. They tossed each other about and aimed terrific blows at one another. Their colliding fists sounded like thunderclaps. As they rolled about, locked in combat, they broke down gigantic trees. They then lifted those trees and fought with them. The air was filled with fragments of wood as the trees were smashed to pieces. When the entire area was denuded of trees, they fought with rocks and boulders. Without a moment's pause, the two fought immensely, each seeking the other's death. They appeared like a mountain and a mass of clouds coming together. As they hurled boulders, because you have the big mountain, you have the massive clouds, and they're always dead. As they hurled boulders at one another, it seemed as if meteors were falling from the heavens. Even though repeatedly struck on his head and body by the rocks, neither fighter flinched. They wrestled like a pair of infuriated elephants, gnashing their teeth and roared. The dreadful fight lasted for almost 30 minutes. Finally, Bhima raised his fist, which resembled a five-hooded serpent, and dealt the Rakshasa a terrible blow on the neck. He fainted, and Bhima caught hold of him as he fell. He raised the Rakshasa up with his two mighty arms and dashed him to the ground. Bhima pounded his fallen foe into a lifeless lump of flesh. With his bare hands, he tore off the demon's head and threw it aside. That blood-smeared head, with wide-open eyes and bitten lips, rolled away like a huge jackfruit. Spattered with the demon's blood, Bhima came to Yudhishthir and bowed before him with folded hands. Yudhishthir and his brothers praised Bhima, even as the Maruts praise Indra in heaven. The brothers then returned to the ashram. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.